Yeah, bitch. What you know about me, bruh? What you know about me, bruh? Hard in the game, gonna make a name. Leaving my mark, I'ma leave my stain. Better back up, cause I bring the pain. What you know about me, bruh? You know about me, bruh? Got screen ads, supreme clothes. Bad spree, fuck yeah. So fresh, we're high class, bro. What you know about me, bruh?
Uno, dos, tres.
We could, but yo, yeah.
This is fucking dope. We're at another Airbnb, Annoying Neighbors podcast. We got
episode 5.
I was like, fuck. This is actually episode 40.
Yeah, dude.
We're on a fucking.
Yeah, we should have been drinking 40s.
Oh,
let's get some 40. Have you heard a song?
Nah.
Sing it. Play it real quick. That's the intro. Yeah.
It goes.
Okay, wait. Let's set it up.
Oh shit. Okay.
This is episode number 40, Annoying Neighbors podcast.
Oh, hey, let's smoke some weed real fast. Can we smoke it?
No, we can't, dude. Oh, you want this guy get kicked out?
Yeah, they got the smoke alarm right there.
Bah.
Damn, they got the sprinkler. That'd be wild.
Okay, we gotta end the episode. See ya. So, okay, episode 40. Let's do the intro song with Roland Rojas.
Alright, check. Can y'all hear it? 1, 2, I'll just do it like that. Let's get some food. Let's get some. What is it?
You good?
Let's get some 40s. Oh, I just been smoking. I'm feeling too anxious to function. Yeah, she tells me she loves me, but she's not with me. We're too toxic to function. And she wants my love, and I give it up. Yes, I give it up, because I always thought that she belonged with the rich and the gorgeous. So naive, my dear, and as much as she seems like fire, oh, she's so cold, my dear.
Episode 40.
Hold on.
Time out. I feel stupid right now.
Why?
I forgot not only how dope your voice is, but how fucking sick your songwriting is, man. Like, I used to listen to a lot of River Rats back
when
when you first moved down here and shit. And I always, like, I love singers. That's where my heart is. I love songwriting. I love melodies, like I just told you.
And
man, I always loved not only your voice,
but
your songwriting too. Like,
I appreciate it, man.
For real, man. Thank you. Like, and that just smacked me in the face right now. Like, damn, how'd I feel disrespectful? I forgot.
I fucked up in the beginning. So
I've said this before, but that song right there made me fucking cry,
bro.
I was
hitting me different.
Yeah, dude. We're in Las Vegas. I was high on acid, and I just remember I was taking like a video of them, and he was. I don't know if it's because I did a vlog, and I did a vlog with like a bunch of shit that was going on in my life, and it was all Fast Ramp and 40s was playing. So I don't know if that has something to do with it, mixed with the song itself. I just started crying.
Damn.
And then that's when I was like, I gotta move. I gotta get out of here. I gotta get the fuck out of here, bro.
Thanks,
but that's the perfect way to open the fucking 40th episode. We're almost there, halfway. 10 more episodes, we're at 50. 50 more, we're at 100. Fucking that's 900 more, we're at 1,000. Yeah. That's where we're going.
Remember when you started this, your goal was 100?
It's still 100.
Yeah. So at least get there.
Dude, that's the main goal. I just want to get 100 podcasts and see what to do more after that. Like, do I keep going? Do I see any progress?
Of course you
am I slagging? You know, but right now the goal is 100. I don't even look back. I don't even think about, like, oh, that was a whack podcast.
You've been posting all of them, huh?
Huh?
You've been posting, like, every single one.
Yeah.
There's a few where I'm like, don't post it.
The very first ones, he was uncomfortable. Him, too. I actually have an unreleased episode with him that I never posted because, yeah, he didn't want it up.
Yeah, dude.
We have one, but you said you're kind of, like, just in the dark mode, huh? That was episode 3.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. Here, can you turn that down a little bit? My shit's hella loud.
No, your shit good.
It's good? All right.
Yeah, that's how I feel.
Anyway, yeah. I feel like that podcast that we did together, well, that was like episode 4, right? Mm-hmm. That was like 5 years ago?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was in a, I would say a
dark
place.
It was 2008, no. Yeah, 18, I believe.
18?
Yeah.
I feel like, yeah, maybe, yeah.
Because I moved back in 19, and I was already doing podcast. I started doing podcasts at 2008. Maybe it was 19. Maybe it was 19.
I wouldn't say I was necessarily in a dark place, but I was more in, like, a place where I was transitioning between kind of, like, I was leveling up in life, and I was learning a lot of new things about myself, and, I was very aggressive, but subtle at the same time. And
the one that you didn't post or the one you did?
The one that we did post.
So
I don't know. It's hard to explain. Y'all go back and listen to it.
Go back and listen to it. Again, I don't think I even say your name. This is Swerve.
Yeah,
Swerve and Irvin. Well, that's what I call him Swerve and Irvin still. He's still Swerve to me, but it's Gabriel Irvin. That's his. You don't have a middle name, y'all.
I do. Raymond.
Raymond?
Raymond.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Gabriel
Raymond Irvin.
Yeah.
Which I still refer to as Swerve because that's all our childhood names, you know?
Now you guys are best friends from up north in Watsonville.
Yeah, well Steven tried to beat me up when we were 12.
I was about to say that. I was about to say. The funny thing is, I met him for the first time.
That wasn't the first time we met.
When was the first time we met then?
We had smoked together before.
Really?
You guys didn't talk about this?
At John John's.
You guys know the podcast?
No. He didn't want... Dude, okay, before we continue to how we met, the last episode, I would try to crack jokes, and he was just like...
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, what the fuck? Like,
For the record. Yeah, okay, I was in a dark place, and I was like, I was tripping. I'm talking to the audience. I love Steven. Don't get the wrong impression. But it
felt like I wasn't even like kicking it with the like the Swerve I knew because I was just like, but I'd worked with it. I was like, dude, this is
fucking
loud.
It's fucking loud. I'm like, trying to get it right.
Is it loud, dude? Yeah. There's no way it's loud. Is my headphones loud?
He threw the headphones on the ground.
I was like, dude, fuck this shit.
Dude, put them back on.
I didn't mean to fucking drop them.
He spiked the headphones like a football player. He's fucking shit.
Oh shit!
Rewind that slow mo.
Okay. So,
Does that sound better? Go ahead. Does it sound better now?
It sounds the same, but...
Does it really?
Yeah.
I feel like it sounds better.
Maybe it's me because I've been playing music loud for a long time.
So what does it sound like?
Yeah, oh, actually, it sounds better.
It sounds a little bit better.
It's not like it's piercing. Does it sound piercing?
Yeah, right? Sometimes, yeah.
It sounds piercing. So pretty much what I was saying is we did a podcast. I love this guy, so I just kept it going. I was like, I don't know what... I can tell that something's bothering him.
Uh-huh.
And I was trying to, like, kind of work my way to get to that. But then at the same time, I didn't know if I should bring it. So I was just like... He'll say something, and I'll crack a joke like, oh, yeah, that kid probably fell down and hit his head, and now he's dead. Or, like, just stupid jokes.
Yeah, did you have, like, any ideas where you're like, oh, maybe it's this, or maybe, like...
No, I didn't
you
know.
You had no clue? You were just like, what the fuck is
I just kept... I just tried to work with what I got, and, and I know he wanted to do it, but when we were on the podcast, I felt like he didn't want to do it.
No. It was like, it's a lot of things, but Steven knows me so well. We've known each other for so long that... Like, I've done that, especially when I was younger. Like, you know, I didn't know how to deal with my emotions and shit. So I would just be like this sometimes. Like,
yeah.
Sometimes I'd be chilling and da-da-da, like, all cool. And then all of a sudden, like, just all quiet, looking at everybody, like, then I just leave or something.
Like, it happens a lot? Like it's just, like, always since you were young?
Yeah. Like, you know, I've always dealt with, like, depression and all kinds of shit, but when I was younger, I didn't know how.
I didn't know what it was.
Yeah. You know, yeah. So I was just always numbing myself with weed or whatever I could get my hands on. But when I got older, you know, you learn how to deal with things in a more healthy way and not take it out on the people closest to you. But anyway, I say all that to say, Steven's been the recipient of that many a times, and in that podcast, it's a perfect example of how he just like kind of. He's like, okay, I know Gabe. He's going through something, but I'm going to.
Yeah.
And that's, you know.
Because towards the end, he started laughing at things I said. I was like, there you go. Like, you can hear, like, at the last 20 minutes, he's like slow. He's like, I feel like he forgot that that's the connection we had. So once it went towards the end, you're like, what am I doing? This is fucking, like, one of my best friends. Like,
yeah.
Did you kind of feel like that?
No, it was nothing personal. It was more of. I was just like this shit's on wax. Like, I want to be, like, super serious and, like, make my points and this and that. And I was like,
I feel that because it was like one of your first ones.
Yeah. But that mixed with, like,
other shit going on.
Yeah, to where I was mad depressed. I was, like, going through all kinds of different changes in life. And, especially when I was younger, too, I was, like, I don't know what the word is. Maybe it's arrogant, narcissist, whatever. But, you know.
I think we just kind of we all were something
like
that.
Yeah,
yeah. Because you don't know. You know what I mean? So it's kind of like, yeah.
I thought I knew everything. I thought I was like, you know, had. Yeah, exactly. So
I did too. And a lot of times in my life, I'm like, all right, now I know what's up. And then it's like something happens. And I'm like, all right, no, I don't. And then I'm like, all right, now I fucking know what's up. And then something new happens. So out of nowhere, like, oh, fuck. I'm not like, I don't know. It's just like never ending, like learning and shit.
Well, that's what wisdom is, right? It's like it's always realizing that you don't know shit and being able to take lessons out of
like the bad situations,
or out of things that people might not even think about. You know,
yeah.
It's just like, I'm still curious though. What's your earliest memory of me with you?
Well, I want to hear that story about you.
It will lead up to that.
Okay.
My earliest memory of you is in. We were smoking in John. I don't want to be dropping names. We're smoking.
He'll bleep his
little alleyway, like next to his house. Remember, we used to, like, it wasn't an alleyway, but it was next to his window.
Yeah,
and it was like a little. It was between the fence and his house, and we used to smoke there. There was a time where it was you.
You're already there, and I pulled up, or vice versa?
No, actually, fuck that. I remember actually. We're in his room. We were watching Bone Thugs videos. And you were with Yoda and somebody else. And I remember you because you were sitting like this. You're sitting like this, like a fucking monk. And I remember thinking, fuck, my knees would break if I was doing that shit. But we were like.
Oh, how old was I?
We were probably 12, 13. And then.
Fuck, I'm trying to remember if I was working out at that time.
Yeah, you were already like getting swole.
Swole, yeah.
What, 12?
Dude, I'm telling you, fool.
This dude blew up at like 13.
I tell him, he doesn't understand. Like, at a young age, I didn't want to be fucked with. Like, I've been picked on since I was a little kid. My brain switched at a point where I was just like, I'm gonna work. I literally worked out my room like I was in jail. TV would be on, commercials would go, push-up, sit-ups.
Yeah, yeah.
I did it every day. And then I was competing against a guy in middle school because he was trying to get abs. So I was just going hard. And then I was always stronger than him, so I had that on him. But anyways.
Wait, add on to that, though. You know, think one thing about Steven. Steven's one of those dudes. You ever used to watch Everybody Hates Chris?
You know what's funny?
You know, I have it.
Before
I
you continue, did. I think it's funny because, like, he doesn't know me as Steven. He knows me as Box or Esteban.
Oh, really?
So Box. When you say Steven, I'm picturing him like, who the fuck is Steven?
No, not anymore. Like, that used to happen to me. I'm like, who the fuck is Steven?
Like, I don't know. I just saw you. I always call you Steven.
No. But it's just funny. I was just making sure because, like, I was just curious. I was like, is he tripping out that he's saying Steven?
I'm going to just listen to him. Who the fuck is Steven?
Who is he talking about?
Why is he bringing that
No, forward? but like, he could watch, like, this dude could watch Bruce Lee throw like a combo and watch it one time and damn near be able to like imitate it like to the fucking whatever. And so when you mix that with his like natural athleticism and then his drive to just like decide one summer that he wants to fucking get buff, like
yeah.
This dude's a fucking monster. Like, he's the nicest dude in the world, but like,
I know when I first
him into a corner and square up with him and see, like,
no, straight up, dude. When I first met him, I was like, damn, because I knew Marco, his roommate,
yeah,
and I was like, damn, fool, fucking Marco was in with a fucking straight up cholo. Like, I don't know, fucking sells drugs.
And I came up selling coke, so yeah, I was like, y'all want coke?
Yeah, I'm like, damn, this motherfucker's crazy.
Still connected,
and then I got to know him more and more. And then I'm like, what the fuck? This fool's a nerd. I was like, what?
Yeah.
He's all into comics and video games. Like, I would trip the fuck out when I would walk in. This fool's with his headset and, like, super into the games with his homies. What's up, fool? Yeah. And I'm like, what the fuck? Like, the cholo ass fool who sells drugs? I'm like, yeah. And I was like, fool, you're like me.
Yeah.
Yeah, hell yeah.
That's how we became friends. He tried to beat me up, and then we played video games.
He tried to beat me up, but I realized, I'm like, damn, this motherfucker's a bulldozer.
Yeah.
Because he would, like, fucking give me dead legs, fool, and I'm like, fucking get hurt.
And then I'll tell him.
I was like,
hey, I'll tell him to do it to me, and he'll do
it. Yeah, and I'm trying to fuck this fool up, and this fool doesn't get fazed. I'm like, damn.
The worst thing, too, I can see in his eyes, he gets scared because he'll hit me. I'm like, ooh, I'm going to fuck that feel good.
And I'm like, what? He's on my turn. I'm like, no.
Bro, I have so many stories that speak to that, but it's, I don't know. There was one time in particular, I remember in the car with June.
What? I remember now. Dude, my homie Junior, I don't know, were we on shrooms?
I don't know what the fuck was going on, but
we were high as fuck.
You were pissing him off, and then so he would come and he would just start like trying to wail on you. Boom, boom. He was in the driver's seat, Steven's in the passenger seat. He's wailing on him. Steven's just like dodging, and then like he would stop, and then Steven would just be like, boom, right now. Direct hit every time.
And then he would just go off again.
That's me right there, dude.
But it's the way he would, it would be a direct hit no matter what. Like,
yeah, dude, that shit's fucking hilarious.
There's a good, in the beginning, a lot of times where I'd be like, fool, don't be a bitch. And this would be like, oh, yeah?
Yeah.
And at one point, I had to be like, fool, don't be a bitch. And I saw it. I was like, fool, stop, Box. It's not fair. It's not fucking fair, dude. I can't do shit to you. Stop, like.
But I told him why. I'm all, dude, where I'm from, you can't be called a bitch because then you're being considered a bitch.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you can't let, because these fools, I would hear them call each other bitches. I was like, that's cool, but just don't call me a bitch.
Yeah.
Because I ain't no bitch.
You know?
It's just always, but let me go back to what he said.
That's a whole nother thing. Honestly, that ties into how we met. Like how growing up.
Nice. And
it does tie in.
Because that's the culture that we grew up in.
So fucking, I don't remember smoking with you that first time.
Yeah, that's dope.
That's dope that I'm glad. So my first time I ever knew he even existed was with my neighbor Josh. And I remember seeing them. It was him, Giles, and Toke.
Yeah.
And I remember, like, I was like, hey, let's go across the street and play with them. Like, we need more friends. And he's like, nah, they wouldn't like us. Like, and I was just like, what the fuck? Like, I was like, I guess, like, I, because me, at that time, I was so innocent and like, oh, if they're not going to like us, then fuck it, I guess.
I guess you know.
Yeah.
Well, you're a loyal friend, so And you trusted him, so.
Yeah, so once he said that, yeah. I was like, all right. Yeah. But, like, literally, I don't even remember. When he told me, because I forgot that I hit him up that one time. And he told me, I was like, bro, I was like, I felt bad right away. I was like, fuck, totally forgot about that. So what happened was that fool John John again, he literally fucking, he came up to me and he's like, hey, that fool right there, he keeps saying that he owns your street, bro. And like, you know,
we used to live across. 12, okay, okay. Street, hold on. You got to draw the neighborhood. So we all grew up in this little neighborhood in this fucking little town in Northern California. And
see, box details. Yeah. I like details.
Our streets
that's
were.
That's why he's here.
We're across the street from each other. Like, we could see our houses from across the street.
Yeah.
Like,
so but, I did not know that you guys were across the street neighbors.
Yeah. So, go ahead. Continue.
Literally across the street.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, like, the liquor store that the whole neighborhood was surrounded was, like, right in the middle
so
of
the. So,
it'd
be the liquor store, mm-hmm. and right across the street is Quick Stop.
Yeah.
See, I got a picture right now.
So, yeah. And then he was right there, and I was right here. So. He comes up to me, he's like, because I think he just barely walked into Dale's Liquor, and I was posted up with John John. And this is like around the time where I was trying to prove my name. Like, I didn't want people to think I was a bitch.
Yeah.
You know?
But what at 12 made you feel that way?
Acceptance. You know, you want to be
like,
accepted.
But no, but what made you feel like, in order to be accepted, I need to fucking own the
Because that's street code.
And yeah, and
like older kids, you learned that from like older kids in the street,
you gotta tell them who we looked up to.
So we looked up to like gangs, like a bunch of like gangs in the town.
Okay,
and not only who
we looked up to, but who the girls thought were dope.
Yeah, you know,
who the
high school girls.
It's the same
who
thing.
Who had money,
and that's like in a Watsonville like area, in your neighborhood, or it's like all over.
It's just mainly Watsonville.
Yeah,
that thought that way. Because remember, I told you I went to Aptos. Which is totally different. It's racist now.
Now?
Well, it's always been. Okay. It's kind of like that.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's why growing up, that's why I tell you there's so much trauma between. He's the most relatable person I can know about my trauma because you go
So much trauma between Swerve and me.
Yeah. You go from the streets where it's street code. You can't be a bitch. Then you go to another city. Now you're frowned upon because of the way you look. Like you look, you're brown, you're fucking black. We don't fuck with you.
It's like basically everything that you try to surround your identity around in your environment that you're growing up in just for survival. Then you're forced to go to school in a white ass town where that identity and that survival skill you've worked so hard on completely works against you in that environment because they look at you and they've already written you off and you're a fucking gangbanger, you're a thug, you're no good.
Yeah.
You're not worth anybody's time.
Yeah.
And that fucking dynamic, that balance for a 15-year-old
is like fucks you up and shit.
It sends some kids us all down different paths, you know?
He brought up that I was like, I get offended quick, but I'm like, it's not that I get offended quick, I'm quick to defend myself.
Yeah.
It's more of that cuz I'm just like I grew up with like you have to snap in that mode where it's like, all right, let's throw down. Like, you have to get in that brain and switch.
Most of the time, they're just testing you, too, to see if you're down.
Yeah.
And then it'll be like, all good. And it's,
So I grew up, like, disassociated of all fucking street codes and shit. I was a nerd, dude. I was, like, super into myself.
But that's the thing. We were nerds, too.
Yeah.
But
I never got into conflict, and if I did get into conflict, I feel like I was so dorky, like, wait, what? Like, you know, that they always ended up being like, this was funny, fool. Don't fuck with them, you know?
Yeah.
So I never got fucked with them. I was always like the dorky ass kid.
Where'd you grow up?
In our Riverside.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But in the gator ass like neighborhood called Arlanza.
Yeah.
So there was like gangs and shit too, but my mom was so strict that I never got in touch with any of them.
Mm.
But at school, like, all my friends from elementary, they all became fucking, like, dropouts, cholos. Like, those were all my friends growing up. Mm-hmm. And so from middle school till, like, 10th grade, all my friends were, like, cholos, bald head, big-ass clothes. Yeah, and then me with glasses and
ankle boot
clothes and fucking long, shaggy hair. But they accepted me because, like, I grew up with them.
Yeah.
And even though I wasn't, like, you know, they were never – if they were going to get down, like, hey, who's want to fight? They wouldn't call me, like, you know?
Yeah.
But they always come back and tell me what's up. Like,
see, that's the thing that sucked. They fucking always would call me, and I'm like, fuck, dude. Like,
you're a bulldozer,
but
bro.
But at the same time, I don't want to, like, goes back to the situation that I was going to say. So he's at the store. John John comes up. He's like, hey, that fool's saying that he owns your street. You're going to let him do that?
I would have been like, how do you buy it? I'm fucking stupid.
Nah, and then I tell them, I'm like, fool, I remember saying, like, dude, it's not, like, he's probably fucking around. He's like, you're going to let him do that, bro? Fuck, all right.
That's how they get you.
Yeah, I forgot what he said. He's like,
that's fuck. That peer pressure, dude.
He's like, I thought you were down, bro. Yeah,
exactly. That's like, how they get you right there.
Like, I thought you were down. And I was like, what do you mean? Like, I swear to God, I remember after you told me, I remember shaking my head like, fuck, fool. Like, I really got to hit this fool up for no reason. That's what was going through my head. I really got to hit him up just so you can tell other people he's down.
Yeah.
So I went up to him. I was like, what's up, fool? You fucking saying that you're on my street? I already knew it was a joke, but I had to switch that mode. Like, I got to hit this fool up.
Yeah.
And then he's like, nah, it's a joke. And exactly what I knew. But then I was like, fuck, I got to, like, say something. Well, it's not a joke, fool. Like, I didn't know what to say. And I remember him looking at me like, all right. And I was like, I'm just letting you. I just remember saying, like, I'm just letting you know, fool, that this ain't no game. Like, I said something.
It was something along those lines.
Yeah, and then I walked back. I was like, I just remember looking at John, like, you fucking happy? Like, are you happy? Like, that I fucking hit him up? He's like, see, that's what I'm talking about, fool.
Damn.
But that's, dude, that's our childhood right there. That is.
But then what made you guys be like, hey, what's up, fool?
Again, I forgot about this until he told me. Like,
When was this that he told me? Same year?
I met him probably 3 years later.
Uh-huh.
Right? Like three or four?
Probably, yeah. We were like.
Because I was probably like a eighth grader when I did that.
Yeah, yeah. So.
You guys met in high school again?
I met him.
Yeah, it's about right.
It was my
that's
junior year. I just finished my sophomore, so I was going into junior.
Yeah. I was going into
and
sophomore.
He was going into sophomore.
Uh-huh. I was wild.
And down the street, not down the street, like, it's a cool walk, but it was a boxing gym, which I joined. And then my neighbor Josh started going there. And then you went to a community school with him, right?
Yeah, me and Josh both went to, I think we did. So I already knew Josh through Giles because they went to the YMCA together when they were little. And then I think me and...
And this is the same guy that said, don't go across the street to hang out with them because they won't like us.
Yeah.
So I think me and Josh went to summer school at Watsonville Community together. And since we lived across the street from each other, we would walk to school. And then something like that. Anyway, me and Josh started kicking it tough after that.
Plus, you guys both smoked. Yeah,
we were just smoking and... fucking around. And Josh had all the connections with the white people in Aptos, so he was a, you know, good peoples to have around when you're trying to get accepted in the white parties and shit, you know.
We'll get into that, but so fucking me going to the boxing gym, Josh, you know, out of nowhere being best friends with this guy, brought him. Hey, I don't know what he told you, but he showed up one day, and then we did our drills and all that, and then we went back to my room.
That was after boxing?
Yeah.
Oh.
Because that's why you're in my room, because all three of us, we went back to my room. And I don't know if we smoked. I think we smoked or something. But then we start, like, Josh left. He always leaves. He always, like, for some reason, is like, oh, I got to feed my dogs real quick. I'll be back.
Hold on. It's the first time I'm at this dude's house. Josh has been neighbors with him since they were fucking babies. So they're, like, good friends. Josh brings me over to his house. We're chilling over there, and then all of a sudden, Josh fucking leaves. And leaves me there.
Yeah.
Just me and him in his room.
Josh is John?
No.
Okay.
All right. This is like...
I'm like, confused. All right, go
I'm like picturing, who the fuck's Steven?
Yeah.
Still thinking about that. Oh, man. All
right, go for it.
Yeah. So, fuck it. Josh did leave him, and once he left, like
was,
he said... like
it was awkward.
And I just...
It was awkward.
Yeah, because I never really talked to him. And I just remember fucking, to break the ice, going back to video games, I grew up with video games. I'm like, you want to play some games? And I brought up UFC. And we were playing UFC. I don't know if you played UFC before that, did you?
I had. Me and Tyler had.
For what, PS?
This is PS3.
Yeah.
And we're going at it. And after that, we're cracking up and like, that just broke the ice, and we're friends from there. Like,
but and at that time, you didn't know he was the kid that you fucking rolled up
I
on?
Totally forgot about that.
Yeah. I know.
He knew, but I didn't. Like, I told.
Did
and
that
they,
did that kind of keep you at like? Ooh, I don't know what to say. This fucking.
Nah, I didn't.
Because he knew. That's how Watsonville is.
Yeah. I already understood how all of that happened. Yeah. You know, and so I was like, I wasn't sitting there tripping off him or even like anything. Like, it was just. That was years ago. I know how the neighborhood works, whatever.
Yeah. And that's why I figured, because when he brought it up, I was like, fuck. I was like, my bad. Because he brought it up when we were already good friends.
Yeah.
It wasn't
yeah.
like the next day. He's like, hey, you almost fucked me up. Like, or yeah, like whatever. Yeah. Like, he brought it up later on. I was like, dude, I'm so sorry. And he's like, dude, I already know why you did it.
Yeah.
Like, that's just how Watts was. So, yeah, that's kind of what started everything. And I think I was already, like, heavy into rapping.
Uh-huh.
So, I told him about it. And I don't know if you wanted to rap ever, but...
No, I wanted to be a DJ.
Yeah, that was your main thing. Yeah, DJ. Because we had mixers, and this fool used to loop fucking songs in the studio. So, okay, around this time, this is, like, a crazy, like, time. I'm already, like, over, like... I got in a relationship... You know, and fucking, I was already over, like, mobbing all the way to the other side of town just to be like, I'm down, fool, I'm here. Like, I kept showing my face for no reason. Like, we'll walk and try to hit fools up, and I'm like, fool, what am I doing?
We had both kind of reached that place, because I was also, like, I had got on probation for, like,
that's right, other shit. I forgot about that.
And so, like,
damn,
when we met at that time, we were both kind of, like...
Trying to settle down.
Yeah, on the other side of, like, trying to...
In high school? I mean, life is crazy. I gotta kill that. Well,
it was more of just, like, getting tired of trying to please...
Other people.
People. And I don't even want to say the neighborhood, because, like, everyone in the neighborhood, like, we're still solid with everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's the town in the big picture, and it's, like... Trying to please, or I don't know, something along those lines for people.
It's pretty much
that we don't give a fuck about, and don't give a fuck about us at the end of the day.
Yeah.
So I feel like we both kind of came to that conclusion at the same time, like, for like a lot of the same reasons. And
we like playing games. We like fucking having a good time.
And then,
like,
there was also this, like, underlying thing that both of us dealt with in different ways, where it was like Watsonville is probably what. 80% Mexican, right? So it's like all my homies growing up were all Mexican, and it's like if my homies who gangbanged, if they got put in a position where it was like they're always gonna choose their hood or their whatever,
yeah,
that's over me, and yeah, they were kind of like, I always understood that too, like if push came to shove, I'm the odd one out. I'm the nobody, they would say.
Yeah.
I'm not part of no hood, and I'm black. And so it's like, and Steven dealt with that in a different way, because he was fucking the different types of music he listened to, the way he dressed. And
so, I slowly started changing my style once I met him.
Yeah. Well, you were already like that too from Gabe.
Yeah, that's true.
Like Gabe started to influence that.
I was wearing like Dickies and Cortezes for a while, but then I'd slowly like, I don't know, I just grew out of that. Well, this is different, but I don't even know what this is.
So they would, like, accuse him of trying to be black and shit like that.
Yeah,
and
that was like, another thing with the tall tees. That's
crazy.
Yeah.
And so at that, so, like, on top of everything where it was, like, he was, like, doing a gangbang and shit. And also there was, like, some town politics, too, that really saved y'all, too.
Oh, bro, I forgot about that.
Yeah, as to where it was, like, to long story short, to not... be too specific, there was this like hood that nobody really had to get jumped in, but they could all be a part of.
So since I was associated, it's one of those things to be like, oh, you're associated, so you have to claim this. So when you get hit up, you have to rep that clique. It's a clique, not a gang. But then they became a gang.
It was like a side.
So they're like, if you're gonna keep repping this, you need to get jumped in now. And if you're not gonna keep repping it, then that's cool. And that was me and Gabe. I remember like thinking to
see
ourselves,
you later.
Like, this is Gabe Puente.
Yeah, not me, Gabe. The other Gabe. Yeah.
So me and him were like, dude, and Lil Boxer too. We all kind of like, fuck yeah, I guess we're just doing us.
And so that was all at the same age, to where it was like, yeah, I had got caught up. I got arrested and did some whatever. And so at that time, it was kind of like we both. We're just trying to be on some different type of shit.
Yeah. You know what I mean? And then. At that time, I didn't know this. My mom told me this later, that the reason why they built the studio is so I can stay home more. So my dad, he always had like this homie that will build something for dumbass cheap, like literally $200. He'll put it all together or something.
Kind of like similar to what you have now?
Yeah, exactly. But cheaper than that. Yeah. Like way cheaper than that. And fucking, they built the studio, which is like probably right from... No, not the mirror. probably like where that dress, the dresser door right here.
Yeah.
All that wall. To right here. Yeah. It's a little studio, and I remember concrete floors, and my dad bought the mixer thing, and he put it right there, and from there, it was the studio, dude. Like, me, him, Josh would come over, Junior, Gabe Ponte, Lil Box, will all be at Tino. Yeah. All of us would be right there just fucking flowing on the mic. He loops the beats, and we're just, we had this dream already. Like, we had this clique where we're all the outlaws. Like, I don't know how, like, I guess.
Outcast.
Yeah, outcast. Like, we were just different. So, like, we're rapping, and we also have the street rap. Like, we know street code, so we're also hard as fuck. So, like, it was just a weird mixture of people. And I just remember, like, those were, like, the best times of my life. Like, I just remember rapping in the studio, drinking. We'll shoulder tap at the fucking liquor store. Actually, at this time, Factory was already fucking serving me alcohol. He said, I'm going to serve you alcohol only. So dude, remember the times we used to get drunk at the studio? We'll go to Cross's Quick Stop to get coffee to stay up more.
They had like this promotion for free coffee. And so we would just go over there and just take advantage.
But we'll be so turned up. We're getting coffee. Other people are getting 18 packs and walking out.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, and grabbing munchies, putting in their jackets because we're all turned up.
Yeah.
And
we used to walk in there like 12 deep and just all be in the same aisle and just like
grabbing shit, put it in your pocket.
Plug.
And then there's
one worker, he's just like,
we knew him too. We'd be cool with him, but when we come, he's like, guys, really? You can't do it when I'm not here? And we'll just like, later, man, thank you. He's like, fuck you guys, man. Like, he'd be so mad.
What the fuck?
But this is us. This is a bunch of like 16, 17 year olds, bro, on the block. Like, we'll be so deep. But this is later on. So at first, it was just us. And we were slowly getting in the studio. We got like a bunk bed out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Then we fucking got a TV. Then everything's slowly getting built into the studio. And we're a team. Then we came with team business. Because we're all about our business.
Yeah.
And then it's...
What year was this?
This is like 2000... 11. Nah, this is like...
2011. 2010.
When team business happened was team 2010. Yeah.
I never heard of team business.
Because that was the first name. This is around the... So
I'm going to make a song, Team Business.
We started getting attention, right?
Team
like,
business, nigga.
Yeah.
Fucking...
Team Business, bitch!
Then we got this older guy, Rocky. He came over. I don't know how he got like involved with us.
I knew Rocky from...
But how do you know about the studio? Someone told... John.
Nah, because...
Someone told him about the studio, so he wanted to go check it out.
Well, because there was like Autry's pad, too.
And
everybody, that was kind of like, before we even kicked it, that was like kind of like the neighborhood house that everybody would just kind of
anything
kick
goes.
It at, you know, and come in and out of. That's,
you can smoke, drink, and no one would fucking
and that's,
tell you shit that you're underage.
That's where I met Rocky, I thought, but then I found out that he knew my sister, and like I had known him already, been in my house. But yeah, he was like the older dude who kind of taught us how to write bars and
So Rocky was like what, like 5 years older than us?
I don't know,
something like that.
Yeah.
So
that's about right, because he's probably my sister's age. Yeah, she's 6 years older than me.
Yeah, so So he showed us all the shit how to like, because for the longest time we didn't know what to get to record music. We're just like, what do we do? Like we got programs, didn't work, and then he finally came in with his program, and then that shit worked, and we recorded a couple songs. Then Augie came up on the fucking iMac later on.
Yeah, it's probably.
And then that's when we switched over. Well, that's later on, though. We're rapping on the black laptop for a long time.
The Dell.
Yeah.
You guys had Macs and everything?
Later on. This is after we graduated, like 2011 or 12.
Yeah. On that Dell, we had the Acid Pro, and that's where. Was it Acid Pro?
Mm-hmm.
Was that the name of it? Yeah. And that's where we recorded all of Team Biz.
Team Biz 1 and 2.
Yeah,
Team Business. I'm so mad I haven't heard about that.
We had the microphone just like this, tied to the bunk bed.
Yeah,
bro. And around this time, okay, and then that caught attention to Sneaky and Mello down the street too.
Uh-huh.
They started joining us with rap shit too.
Yeah.
And then this is like around the time where like
that shit makes me think like of like the Sandlot. Like everyone's like, they just come over. Hey,
it's kind of how
you guys
works.
Have a mic. Like, it's kind of what
it was
in.
Like, man. Like, it was like is real. Like, everyone just already knew each other in the neighborhood. Or if they didn't know each other personally, they had mutual friends. You know, it's... It's fucking weird, man.
Yeah.
It's a trip to think about.
For real.
And to talk to other people who didn't have that same experience.
Well, it's good that you're saying this because I want him to understand, like, how we grew up.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I feel like sometimes he, like, looks and, like, doesn't understand, like, the way.
I wouldn't understand anybody. I'm like, what? I would trip out. I'm like, bro, how did you do that, dude? I didn't do shit. I was like, chilling.
Bro, dude, we grew up weird. It was fun.
Yeah.
It was great. But this is around the time, though, when we were partying nonstop. We literally, I remember one time me and him told each other, like, I feel like this is a job.
What?
Because we're going out every weekend.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
We knew all the parties. If he didn't know, I would try to figure out. Josh will figure out. We'll always get a party. And there's parties every fucking weekend.
Yeah. And this was like the end of the Thizzle era. In
Thizzle.
Ecstasy.
It was Ecstasy.
Oh, you guys were popping Ecstasy and
Ecstasy
shit?
Ecstasy at 17.
And you know what? That's true because after high school, for me, it was 2007. And at around 2008 to like 2011.
That was it.
Ecstasy was the shit.
It was, that's when I was going to raves. It was the Blue Dolphins. It was all the shit.
Dude, and you know, bro, what I trip, so you know what I trip out on? Is that high schoolers' kids did it. Because when I was in high school.
We were the high school kids doing it.
Yeah, because when I was in high school, when people would be like, Ecstasy, I'd be like, Ecstasy, you're fucking crazy, dude, you're insane. And then once I was out, I remember I used to work at Standard Brothers, and the high school kids there would be like, yeah, we went to prom, we all took Ecstasy. I was like, what? And then bro, I was like, this is dope.
We were off hella shit for I didn't go to prom, but I went to winter ball.
Yeah,
because there's no,
just rip off a little piece.
It's just stem.
Yeah, just rip off a little bit. You haven't taken any yet?
Nah, I forgot.
There's a fuck.
But yeah, that's pretty much sums up what, like, how we became best friends. Like, it was me and him all the time. We'll always be kicking it. Like he said, he lived down the street, and it was just a different time period, bro. Because I grew up with, like, again, like, different people, and then they slowly. Gay Ponte had to do his own thing. Lil Box lived far away, so once he was down the street, I was like, dude, this is perfect. Like, I got a best friend down the street. Like,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know,
it was perfect timing for both of us because, yeah, Giles was dealing with his juvie stuff.
Yeah, he was locked up at that time. He was on probation.
Tug's family had to move to Santa Cruz.
I still remember, like, meeting you, and you're like, dude, my homie Giles. He kept bringing up Giles. I didn't know who he was. He just told me the story where he fucking, like, can I say what he did or no?
Nah.
Leave it on. Something happened where he got an altercation and ended up bad.
Yeah.
Even though it was self-defense. But
yeah.
But I remember the first time he came over, and Giles was probably tripping out because we're like, he probably wasn't used to that, like, either, like, coming out and then seeing, like, what you, because he was gone for a cool minute.
Yeah, but
I mean, like, he's used to it, but it was nothing new, but it was something cool for him to be like, damn, this is sick. Like,
it was different.
Yeah.
It was different for sure. Cause
how old was he at the time?
He's same age as him. Me, yeah.
He's the one that's in New York. I don't know if you
probably. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so fucking.
But Giles was like, he was the white boy from the neighborhood.
Dude,
like,
he was, like, the downest white boy.
Like, yeah. They tried to fucking get him jumped in a couple times.
Yeah. That's fucking crazy.
He was like, no, I'm good, but.
Remember that time we're like all boxing on the street because Giles was getting ready, like, to fight someone or something?
I do remember that.
Yeah.
That was embarrassing.
We all boxed on the street.
Nice. With boxing gloves?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're all just kind of like prepping up. That shit was funny.
But we're like, this is normal and shit, but people outside are like, damn, this fool is all for them.
Bro, and then we had like the uncles at the end of the street, like, egging us on, like Juan and Jay.
Juan got in it.
I know.
Juan fucking.
Older fools?
Yeah, he went at it with Augie.
And who's fucking Tino.
Yeah, they were going at fucking Tino, dude. I told you that he's like off right now, right? Yeah, that's crazy.
But
dude, that growing up, it was. I want to write a movie about this, like, cause it's.
I'm telling you, it sounds like a Sandlot. You guys should make like a rated R Sandlot.
That's pretty much what it was.
Yeah,
that's a perfect example.
Yeah,
cause like so much was going on. We're dealing with cops harassing us. We're dealing with gang tripping off this for this and that. Bro, we go to parties. We're trying to be chill, and the next thing you know, like, fucking one of our homies is drunk fighting with this guy. Now we all got to fight. Like, he's the one that told you at that white party that war. I fucking knocked out that one guy, and he comes out ready, knowing. Like, he, that's the instinct that we have in our head.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
All right, where's my homie at? Fucking, I hear people fight. Oh, okay, that fool's not with us. Bah, bah, bah. This yeah, just yeah, goes yeah. in and starts swinging right away.
Yeah.
Because I've seen him clear, dude. I just remember, like, looking for people to, like, fight. And I see Swerve just come out, just, like, hands up. And they just start hitting the fucking the first person he sees. Because he already knows he's from Hollister, not Watsonville.
Yeah, see, the thing for me is that I didn't grow up with, like, these codes. Like, I always saw it in movies, like, where, like, people abide by these, like, codes. Or, like, when you're here, you do this, you know. And, like, throughout my whole life, like, it was never like that. Like, it was always, like, even in high school, I never saw, like, anyone, like, really hold up to any codes. So, I was, and when people did, kind of like, oh, these fools are trying to be, like, I don't know, goth or whatever. These fools are trying to be this. It always seemed kind of weird. It's like, I mean, I guess I'm trying to do it, but I don't know. I don't know what I'm doing, really. Like, you know, it's always like, oh, okay, whatever. Like,
yeah.
So, yeah, to hear about, like, how you guys... It makes more interesting, you know? It's more of a storyline when there's, like, shit going on like that. Like, codes you abide by, and if this happens, this happens. So we did this and this and that.
Yeah.
Yeah, with me, it was just a lot of random shit.
Well, yeah, it was, like... It started out with just kind of, like, learning from the older people, you know? Like, we all had older siblings... Or older people that we would, like, fucking buy weed off of. Or always see, like, just doing cool shit. Like,
but you know what?
Driving around and shit.
A lot of the people that I looked, not that we looked up to, but that were cool to us, always fell off, I feel.
And, well, yeah.
In my neighborhood. Yeah. They always, like, we're, like, druggies or something happens. We're, like, it's like, oh, okay, don't do that.
You know?
Like,
and that's common, you know? And we experienced that even just with our generation.
Yeah.
To this day, still. Like, people are still... You know, dealing with the side effects of that. But I forgot what I was going to say.
Take time, man.
I don't know about
codes and shit and people falling off.
Oh, okay. Yeah, talking about like the older heads falling off and all that.
So, yeah, it started with like the people that we looked up to and trying to be like that. And then there were certain kids who were like, naturally like a little tougher or a little bigger or maybe had some more pull because their older brother was like fucking big in some hood or something. So it was like, okay, like we got to make sure like we got his respect
because
this dude's got a lot of juice, you know what I mean? So, and then eventually like it starts out like that and just basic kind of survival. And
the main thing was like respect.
Yeah.
Respect is everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's the social currency. It's like with that, you can move without having to worry as much because people aren't
trying to get you.
You know what? I never disrespected no one, and I feel like that's what always got me like by to or like. I do remember situations too where I feel like someone was about to trip on me or something. They like I didn't understand something, and they like what, you know, and then I. Either someone I knew or something would always be like, hey, fool, this fool's fucking
cool. He's not all there.
No, like he's cool. Like, you know?
And, hey.
But, and my demeanor would always be like, what? Like, what's up, dude? Like, I'm just trying to kick it. Like, yeah. I'm not, like, I'm, like, nothing, you know?
Yeah. See, and then, like, so I say all that to say, like, that's how it started, you know? And it was basic. It was like, oh, you fight or you're just down to fight.
Yeah.
But then you get older and it slowly changes, but all of a sudden you find yourself in a position where it's like
you have to make a choice.
These are no longer these things we've been preparing for, these situations we've been preparing for are no longer just like a fist fight. Like,
yeah,
this is now life or death. Like, and when it shifts and you really got to make a decision. It's like, do you really trust the people that you surround yourself with? Do you really trust the people that, I don't know, period, you know?
I totally know what you're talking about because
it makes you analyze how you move.
Because, like I said, all my friends, that's the path they chose. Yeah. You know, that path that you're talking about and shit. And, but, like, because my mom never let me get there, it's like I never really, like, got to experience it or, like, feel like I had to choose. You know what I mean? Like, I always was already on this path to where, even if, like, as I got older, if I did get in a situation where it was like, oh shit, we gotta get down. I would always be like, wait, what the fuck's going on? Why? Like, you know, what the fuck? Why? I don't fucking know you. Your hood. I don't fucking know. Like, you know what I mean? Like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, dude.
Where are you from? Like, what do you, like?
What do you mean?
You went to school with me. What are you talking about?
Yeah, dude.
I remember one time fucking jumping this kid that I knew, and I was cool with him.
Yeah.
And I felt so bad. I was kicking him. I was like, fucking dude, you should just ran. Like, because at the end of the day, bro, like, you have to do it. Or
yeah, yeah,
because I remember the one person that didn't do it, dude, they were clowning on him all the time. This fool isn't down. And he's like, what do you mean I was keeping watch? He's like, keeping watch for what, fool? You should have been fucking jumping. You ain't down. Get the fuck out of here. Yeah. Now he's considered a bitch.
Well, and then in more like other slang, like that's where the term mark comes from. Like,
yeah.
Like a mark, like you're a target. You're easy picking. You know what I
and
mean?
And there's
you're
time
a fucking lick, you know,
yeah,
you
yeah, rob yeah.
you, whatever.
Yeah, because like, they can easily walk all over you.
Yeah.
And not on that, there's times where if you don't do something, well, you're no good now. Like, you didn't back me up, fool. Now you're getting jumped by your own homies that you fucking chill with,
yeah.
And you're still gonna be. You might even get kicked out.
Yeah.
And now forever, when they see you, they're gonna fuck you up.
Yeah.
So it's that type of shit. You don't want to be that guy, do you? Do you want to get jumped every time you gotta watch your back when you go to fucking the store with your mom?
Yeah.
You know, like, it's exactly. Little things like that.
And it's different when you're a kid, when you're a teenager, because you don't have, like, adults. Obviously, it's like, these fucking losers, like, I fucking got a life, like, whatever. Like, but kids, it's like, there's no escape. Like, you can't just decide to move somewhere else or just, like, not come around. Or, like, you know, you live there.
You fucking walk
to the bus with these kids every day. You know, you fucking all of this. So, it's really just survival and how you manage that.
And it's crazy because, like, I've been reflecting a lot with him. And I just feel like that itself with, like, the people that we know, we have a bunch of hidden trauma because of that.
Oh, going back to when I – because with this fool, like, I fuck around. Like, I think that's what got me by with everybody. It was just that, like, well, this was just some silly fool. Some silly little goofy fool, you know? Like, I was self-deprecating. Like, I didn't care. I was like, what's up, guys? You know, like
yeah.
– and so with this fool, I don't – like I'm – once I realized, like, this was cool as fuck, we started hanging out. And – I don't know, like, I just, once I feel comfortable, I'll say anything. Like, what's up, fool? And I'll say something to this fool, and I'll just be honest, like, fool, what? And he'll get offended, and I'll be like, fool, what the? Or, no, he'll tell me stories. I'll, like, for example, like, hey, let's go to a rave, let's go to something. And I'll be like, nah, fool, because then fucking people trip me out. Oh, no, what? Horror nights. Hollywood Horror Nights, he's like, nah, fool, if the fool comes out
and scares
me, I want to fuck him up.
Yeah, and like, Steven don't fuck with that paranormal shit either.
Yeah, and
he
I was like.
He don't fuck with ghosts, he don't fuck with nothing like that.
I'm like, yeah, and that's what I was telling him, I was like, well, I don't want to go just to get scared, like, that's fucking like.
I was like, why you get so fucking, like, serious about everything, bro? Like, why you get so offended?
Well, I mean, that's his reaction, that's what he was taught. That's how he was taught to react to situations when he's uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Is to fight.
Yeah, and I was trip out.
Be defensive.
I was trip out because he brings it to all situations. Like, when I was like, let's go to a rave. He's like, nah, fool, there's too many people and someone looks at me the wrong way. And I'm like, what?
No, he was, like, explaining this one time where that last concert you went to.
Which one?
Fucking, what's his name? The soft guy.
Wait, the what? Oh, James Blake.
Yeah.
I love James Blake.
Yeah,
you went to
Blake,
go see him.
I love James
Blake. And I was explaining to him because, like, he was like, I guess he was being hella loud and obnoxious.
Okay, yeah,
hold on. Do your James Blake impression.
No, okay. Yeah.
I told him, Mama, James Blake always sounds like he's about to cry.
Yeah, but never gets there, huh?
He's dope.
I'm about to cry listening to him. I love James Blake.
No, he's dope.
But so we went to this concert in San Diego at the Observatory North Park. And it wasn't that packed. Like, it was like, there's a lot of space. And it was the first concert I've been to since the pandemic started and all that shit. So me and my girl went, and we're used to going to, like, metal shows, you know, my shows.
Yeah.
Our concerts, you let loose, you dance, you know? And then fucking, this fool's a different vibe. You know, he's
completely
like,
different.
He's chill,
he's a fucking
sings,
musician, pianist,
you know? But then he has some where, like, they're super dancey. And then so I got fucking, we got wasted, me and my girl. Took some shrooms. And once this fool was playing, I was like, yeah, James Blake, you know? And then fucking everyone was chill, fool. And the songs were like, he would like get down. The bass would hit hard
because he's a wild producer too. Like that dude gets down.
Yeah, fuck yeah, yeah, dude. With the, like I've heard a lot of his like rush. Yeah, yeah. And so me and my girl were dancing, and then I would feel fools like I would kind of like bump into them, push me like fool. Like I can tell they're getting annoyed,
like irritated. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But in my head, I was like, fuck you, dude. We're at a concert. Like, why the fuck am I just gonna stand here? Like, fuck you. Like, you know. Like, it doesn't faze me. To me, I think you're stupid.
Yeah.
And it's like, if you're trying to stop me, like, fuck you. It's a show, dude. Like, I play music. I go to shows all the time. Like, even if it's just chill, like, this fool is not going to be mad because I'm fucking dancing, because I'm fucking yelling after he plays, you know, because I'm singing along. And there was at one point, too, that there was a lady who leaned into my girl, and she was like, can you, like, can I want to hear him sing it. Can you, like, you know? And I was like, what? It's like, dude, fuck off.
Yeah.
So, you know? Yeah. And then this fool would be like, fool, if they told me that shit, I'll fucking fuck them up.
No.
And
like, you know, it was it was mainly like the fact that he was pushing you.
Yeah.
Because like recently I went to J. Cole with my girl.
Yeah.
This drunk guy, he was tall and like, he was like at least 6'3 or something. And he was kind of chubby. But anyways, fucking, we're walking and this fool's drunk, but like, he's nudging everybody out of his way with his girl. But then, like, I'm right there. He kind of hits me, but I fucking push him back.
Yeah, yeah. Because
I'm like, fool, what the fuck? And then he feels it, so he keeps doing it to me. So I'm like, what the fuck, bro? Like, what's up? And then he didn't look at me. He just kept fucking walking.
Yeah,
and I was just
that drunk dude at the party, like, I'll fuck up anybody.
Yeah, and I was waiting. I was like, because I said it out loud. I was like, what's up? Like, what the fuck? Like, yeah. I said that. I was waiting for him to turn, and that was going to be my instant reaction, boom.
Yeah.
Like, if he looks at me like, what the, bow. But see, if someone's pushing me from behind, I mean, you seen it when I'm blacked out drunk. I fucking turn around and swung at some guy and I got choked out. But,
wait, what?
But I'll talk about that story right now.
I forgot about that.
But your situation.
The bulldozer got taken down?
He didn't get choked out because I choked out the kid who was trying to choke him out.
So, but like, if he was pushing me, of course I'm going to turn around like, what's up, bro? Like, you got a problem? Like, that just, like, it's the natural reaction.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because if someone's pushing me, I'm like, fool, what is this fool doing behind me? Like,
yeah.
Like, that's just, that's just.
For me, like, it's like, it was kind of like spacious, a little bit where we were, because we were in the front, but it was like a little bit spacious, and it's like, we're just moving back and forth. So I know any of my movement was like barely anything, but when he was pushing me, I was like, in my head, I was just like, damn. San Diego's crowd is whack.
Yeah,
that's all I thought.
That's what it comes down to.
And that's what I was telling him. Like, if that was me, I would, like, react to that.
Yeah. Well, like, those hidden traumas, like, I think about this a lot because I feel like it adds to my already, like, existing anxiety, like, that I deal with. Like I said, like, depression, anxiety for different reasons from, like, whatever, childhood, genetics, whatever it is. But there's this... there's this thing that's just always looming over me. It's probably the same for you, where it's like I'm always thinking in worst case scenario.
Yeah.
Like I'm always, I enter a room, I look at everybody, I'm like, I'm thinking where the exits are, the way I park my car, the way I fucking, like, the way I even put my shoes on, like everything. Like I'm
you tie them extra tight, yeah, like, cause if you get in a fight, you don't want your shoes to come off.
Or yeah, or just like always how I'm positioned in the world, it's based off of like worst case scenario survival. And that constantly racking that in your brain all the time, it's fucking exhausting, you know?
Nah, it sounds exhausting.
And it makes you look crazy to other people. Yeah. Like I be telling my girl, like, it's like a good example. She likes to you know how you could switch your light in your car to where you could have it like off all the time, or you could put it in the middle and it'll turn on when you open your doors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I fucking hate that. I don't like it.
Where the light
goes. Yeah, when the light goes on, it's in the middle of the night. I'm like, I don't want to be a fucking target. We're in the wrong neighborhood. Nobody knows us. Like, they already don't know the car. They, you know, it's just like,
yeah,
boom, 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 boom. And there was like, I think there was one time where we argued about it or something. And I just let it go because at the end of the day, like,
it's just a fucking light.
This is coming from my own shit, you know, my own trauma. And she can't, I don't expect her to understand it because it's so specific, but yeah, it's just an example of it's constantly weighing, you know.
What one thing that your dad said that stuck to me, his dad said, and I do it now, but when he pumps gas, he doesn't sit outside and pump gas, like, waiting right there.
Yeah.
He goes back in his car. Because then, like, if you're sitting right there just chilling, say someone that, like, is looking for you, he can pull up and just fucking light you up, like, shoot you right there. Or just hop out, like, what's up, fool? Like, you remember me? So it's just, like, little things like that. You just pump gas, go back in your car and chilling.
Yes.
You know? But yeah. those are the things that we fucking think about. Like, it sucks because, yeah, like you said, it's just hidden trauma.
And, like, but those are things he's been telling me, putting it in my head my whole life. And it's not out of any, like weird shit. Like, he's generally concerned of our safety because that's how he grew up.
Yeah.
So he's like, I'm trying to give you advice for safety because
this is what I know.
We know safety. How it is around here, yeah. You know? Yeah. So
So I got choked out because
hold on. You can't start from there. You gotta go to the beginning of the night.
Yeah, that's all I was gonna say. So I fucking this is our first time seeing Odd Future.
Okay. And what year? When?
2012.
Yeah, 2012.
Alright.
So
real Odd Future concert.
For real.
They're touring with Smash Mouth.
Dude. What?
Yeah, that was fucking sick.
That's why we were at the after party. Because we went to go see Smash Mouth.
It was like a big place, had like a venue.
It was a 418, tiny ass venue.
That's tight.
Well, the Smash Mouth was at the 418, but the Odd Future was at Smash Talk.
Trash Talk.
Okay, that makes sense.
Smash Mouth is a
Trash Talk. Yeah, Trash Talk is like it's like a DJ, no?
No, Trash Talk is like a heavy metal band.
It's like a hardcore band, right?
Ah, okay.
Punk band, hardcore band, yeah.
So fucking it's 2012, so I'm probably 19. So we can't drink at the Catalyst.
Was this before that fool went solo and all that shit?
This is who?
Tyler?
Tyler?
Yeah, this is real Odd Future. Like, this is like
He had
dropped his first like studio album outside of
Odd Future?
No. What was his first one that he dropped that had Yonkers on it?
Okay, was that time?
No, it was the one directly after that.
It
was while Earl was not around still. It was Free Earl.
Okay, yeah. Okay. You know? Yeah, it was still Free Earl.
Yeah, it was.
So fucking I'm 19, so what we used to do before we went into any show, I can get liquor at Dale's Liquor.
Yeah.
I was underage and he would serve it to me. So we'll chug a bottle before we go in, so we'd be fucked up throughout the whole night.
Yeah.
So I drank a little too much.
What a way to live.
I know, right? Because, dude, it's a bottle between four people. I'm talking about like a bottle like your fucking drink right there.
Nice.
And we all have to slug. We're taking chugs.
Fucking here, Sailor Jerry's or some shit.
I'll take a sip, and then it was Bombay that night.
It was Bombay. Ugh.
Yeah, so I'll take a sip. Take a sip. So we're taking at least fucking seven shots before we go in or something, or like maybe even more. So I have this flip camera, and I'm like recording. We're like having a good time.
Hold on. He's blacked out.
I'm blacked out.
First of all,
in there.
He's blacked out.
And I think I'm already growing out my hair. Yeah, I was. So I think my fucking hair tie came off and my hair is just everywhere, bro. I have like a,
I don't remember that.
No. This is nothing. I'm thinking about something else. My hair wasn't long at this time. But anyways, fucking camera, I lose it. I lost my camera, I lost myself. I just fucking was angry after that.
Who else was with us? It wasn't just me and you.
I lost myself.
Dude, it was me and you in the show, but Piggy and like, other people were downtown. I swear there
was someone else who was in the show.
Maybe Michael. That's the only person.
Josh?
Maybe Josh.
I feel like there was someone who I was talking to about, like, yo, Box. Like, I got to look after him.
Yeah, I'm blacked out. And, dude, fucking, I remember, like, I was so pissed. We end up going to the after show, which is, you know.
Hold on.
But I'm going to say that. So I'm backstage now with Jasper.
No. In the Odd Future concert. Steven's walking around the Odd Future like this.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
What?
Hey.
Mad.
Hey, Steven. Mad. Hey, you good? They fucking stole my camera, homie.
Hey. Odd Future?
Anybody in the fucking crowd.
Who, Steven? Who took it? They fucking took it, homie. They fucking
team business.
Punched the wall. They took my fucking camera, homie. Where's it at?
Bro, because I remember like getting pushed and dropped my camera, and I'm trying to get it, but the person behind me is just like fucking jumping me or something, dude. I just remember getting pushed. Like
he was like the look at it closely, dude. He was like that.
For real, I was. I was right there looking at it. Looking at it closely. I lost my camera.
And I'm just right there just like, oh, fuck. Like, I hope. I'm just like trying to contain him.
Yeah.
Because he's just like.
Black the fuck out.
And he's just so aggressive. And,
So he walks me. I remember going to the after show, 418, and it's trash talk. And
that's when we met up with the rest of the homies.
Yeah. Who was it? I was drunk with Jasper. Yeah, I was with Jasper.
It was Jasper. It was Jasper's birthday.
You were with Jasper. What the fuck?
So this is
Was it your birthday too?
I think
it was your birthday too, because that's what you guys connected on.
I think it was.
It was both your guys' birthdays. Yours and Jasper's?
I think it was.
Or they were like right near each other.
And we're like, dude, we're like turned up, and I was trying to light a cigarette with him, and
they were both blacked out.
Dude, yeah. Oh, yeah? Yeah. So me and him were like vibing really well.
He had his arm over Jasper like this, trying to light a
cigarette. What the fuck?
He was trying to light a cigarette for him, and I'm standing next to
it's Left Brain.
Yeah, Left
Brain. And I'm over here calling Left Brain Half Brain. Yeah. I'm like, Half Brain! Hey, Half Brain!
Half Brain!
Yeah.
He's trying to do the same thing to Jasper that I'm trying to do to Steven. Like, we're both out there just strictly like looking out for our homies. Like, we're. Like, there's this little alleyway. It's next to, like, a levee. But, like, outside of the little club we're at. So we're all outside. And he's out there for the same reason to look after him. Like, I'm looking after Steve. And we're both just looking at each other like, these fucking dudes, right?
Like, dude, I remember seeing Tyler looking at all, like, the white girls just, like, because they're like, oh, my God, it's hot. And he's just like,
ugh. Yeah, he was, like, upset.
Yeah?
He just kept doing that, like, face, like. This is weird.
This is funny.
And then fucking, who's the other guy? It was Jasper, Left Brain.
It was the dude with the dreads.
No, the other guy. That's hilarious. There's another guy. His name's.
It was the dude with the dreads.
No, he gasses. He's on Rusty. He opens up Rusty. Remember?
Oh, Domo.
Domo. Damo was looking at us like, because he was kind of like, because I look crazy. I'm walking around like this, like.
Were you on anything? You just drunk?
Drunk. Bombay, dude, Bombay makes you like, gin. It makes you a different drunk.
Especially when you drink it straight,
I never drank that shit.
Like, we used to drink it straight out the bottle.
And we drank Bombay because of Juicy J.
That's what it was. It was Juicy J and Wiz Khalifa.
Yep. And fucking, so I was blacked out. I'm hanging out with them, and then trash talk goes on, and I'm in the mosh pit, but then, like, I don't know why, I just remember I stopped, and I was, like, trying to figure out where I was, I think.
Steven decided mid-mosh pit that he didn't want to mosh anymore.
I'm in the middle, bro.
He's in the middle of it, and he just starts walking out, like this, no one's gonna touch him.
No, I don't think I was walking out. I just remember someone hitting me in the back of the head, and I turned around and just did that. Like,
it was instant react. And I was watching him the whole time because I'm like concerned. He's in the mosh pit. I already know where his level of aggression's at, and how drunk he is. Literally, like, I think it was less of they hit you in the head and they just like bumped into you. And the dude was huge.
For real?
He was like a big wall of a guy. So I think he just ran into you, but he's so tall.
It might have been his elbow or something. Your
head, you know what I mean?
Because I remember hitting it because I felt this.
Yeah.
Steven, I felt that in the back of my head. I was like, what the fuck? Yo, I was like.
Within an eighth of a second, Steven turns around and cracks this dude. And I'm just like, oh, shit. But dude held his own. Like, he got cracked, grabbed you.
Yeah.
And like started to wrestle and trying to fight with you.
And I was right there. And I just remember getting choked out. Like, I was like, what the fuck is going on now?
So I'm like, fuck, what do? Do I let them break them up? Because like no one's really getting like beat up. Like there was kind of like,
it's just like
yeah, you know, it was like a fight where like they weren't squared up throwing blows. They were like more wrestling. And so I'm just kind of like there just watching. Then all of a sudden, this little scrawny white boy comes out of nowhere and just jumps on Steven's back. And
is that what it was?
Yeah.
I thought it was the guy.
It was this little blonde kid. And because you were like, you had a grip on this guy. Like,
oh, dude, I thought I was choked out immediately.
No. And then all of a sudden, like this little blonde kid, like literally, he was short and skinny. Yeah, and he must have been his friend. And then at that, when I seen that, I was like, oh, nah. So I went. And right as I yoked him up, the kid let go. He's like, oh, no, my bad. And I was like, yeah, motherfucker, get out of here. And then at that point, it got broken up.
Yeah, and then we left.
And then we had to leave, yeah.
Oh, that's comedy.
Bro, there's so many nights like that. I'm telling you, there's nights where fucking, dude, we have so many memories.
Yeah.
That was comedy, dude. Hell yeah.
Good times.
And it goes
business,
back.
Boss getting not fucking choked out by a little kid.
That's shit happened, man.
The bulldozer. Who would have thought?
Sometimes you gotta get choked out by a white boy.
Yeah, a little blonde white boy.
You know, it's part of growing up.
Does it ever trip you out where we're at right now?
Yeah, all the time.
Like, because I'm telling you, fool, like, just like how you have River Rats, we had Solo Grinding. And we had this, like, whole, like, I don't know, dude. And then going to our fucking how we grew up, everything is just totally different now that we're older.
I feel like we were caught. Remember we were having that talk yesterday about that weird little era of hip hop when it was transitioning.
Bro, I wanted you to break that down. Like what we were talking about yesterday was, I was like, fuck, this would be good on the podcast.
I know, right? So like we're basically talking about how there was this weird transition of hip hop between like 2000 to 2010, where it was like in the early first 5 or 6 years of that, people were still trying to hold on to that. Like,
and this is around the time we graduated too.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. So like I say, like 2000 to 2006, it's like you see everything from DMX to 50 Cent to Ludacris to Nelly.
Yeah.
To, and it's that whole era, you know, all the
and
way.
And I had it a little before too. Like. Tupac, Biggie, I remember all that shit. Growing up with that.
Well, I was more speaking towards like this weird transition that hip hop found itself.
But I know what you're talking about. But what I'm trying to say is like I'm agreeing with you because because even like that shit that I grew up with, like Tupac and
all
Biggie,
that gangster shit,
it still goes with like the
they were trying to hold
DMX
on to that.
And 50 Cent. And it still goes with that. And then it went to like, oh, it's different now.
Well, because they were doing it. Like DMX was doing it.
Yeah.
50 Cent was doing it. There was other people doing it. But then it got to a point where it was like people felt like they couldn't be a rapper unless they had some sort
street cred or something.
Of street cred. Yeah. And then you see people like out of nowhere, like Kanye does 808s and Heartbreaks. And then you see like Drake coming in and you
Lil Wayne.
Wayne's starting to fucking catch traction with like Lollipop and shit. 2009, 2010,
and that was
2011.
Big because Lil Wayne was like a blood, you know, like he was like a G, like tattoos and next thing you know, shit like a lollipop. It's like, what? Like, okay. Like,
and so we grew up off of Bay shit. We grew up off of mob music and hyphy music. Like 90s Bay Area rap and 2000s hyphy movement rap. So I feel like we were kind of caught in this weird pocket where we were trying to continue
the bass
a wave that had already died off.
Hey, it's funny that you say that.
Yeah.
Because
and it never caught on because of that, I feel like.
When I was doing the rap stuff with Marco, like it's the same thing. Like he was still trying to be like that hood shit, crazy shit. That's what we always conflicted in, because I was always like, dude, I want to do like something different. I know it's weird, but I feel like, and I'd always bring that up. I always bring it up like Kanye, like, fool, Kanye is doing more shit like that's not hard, you know? It's like mixed with like dance music and shit like that. But he was always like
experimenting.
Ooh. Yeah, he's all, let's keep it hood. And for me, it was hard to keep it hood because I'm not hood.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. So it was all,
yeah.
And so, but then, like, when I would hear this shit, I feel like it doesn't sound interesting because now there's actually some that, like, what's interesting is not hood. It's like new. It's like, you know what I mean? So it's like now this kind of sounds old, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And then, like, you gave a good example because it's like there was two alternatives. There was the hood shit.
Yeah.
And if you weren't hood, then you were like conscious rap.
Oh yeah.
You know,
you were
more like common where it
yeah,
was
exactly.
Like, they'll call it
like underground.
Yeah, exactly. Like underground hip hop. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, there was like that terminology for those people who still tried to hold on to like the essence of hip hop.
But not be about the hood or nothing.
Which in like in its heart, hip hop was always it was started for unity. Like, that's what I was in the Bronx and New York to unify all the gangs and shit, but whatever. So there was this weird pocket in the late, in like the 2010s, where hip hop was switching, it was transitioning. Yeah.
And it was at that point where I was like, I could do it then.
Now.
Yeah. Yeah. Like,
that's what opens, it opened the genre up.
Yeah.
And it, I actually listened to this really good podcast earlier today. It's called the Ringer Music Show by the host was Charles Holmes, and he broke down the ASAP album that we were talking about, and he made a point that that was kind of the start when rap stopped being regional, like when it was acceptable to not have to carry the torch of your region, you know, I feel like. That's what we were caught up in. We were caught up in carrying the torch.
Yeah, because all our music, everybody said, "Oh, you sound like the old school hyphy."
Yeah,
they kept saying that, and us growing up to listening to hyphy, we're like, "Hell yeah!" Like we sound like hyphy. That's sick. But little did we know, and it's crazy that you brought that up. That's what was, I guess, the death of us.
Yeah,
the music. Because
it boxed us in, and
we didn't want to grow. We didn't want to expand with the new music because we were like, we got to keep the sound.
Yeah.
You know?
We can't let it die type shit. And like, if we would have been more open, like, we had all the elements, the way that we grew up, all the different types of music we listened to. You know, we listened to fucking rock, everything growing up, you know?
Well, I was a rocker before I listened to rap. Well, I listened to rap, but I listened to, like, my cousin, I remember sixth grade, he showed me Korn, Slipknot.
Yeah.
System of a Down.
Bro, that's what I grew up with.
That's the same shit we grew up with, too. But it's like, also, your older brother, my older sister, was just pumping fucking Tupac and shit.
I know fucking Chronic 2001, back to front.
Exactly.
Yeah, the first two Eminem albums. Like the
because,
front, fucking,
but that's also like our generation, too.
Yeah,
like,
exactly. Yeah.
Our generation grew up with Linkin Park, where it was like rap rock.
Yeah.
We grew up with Rage Against the Machine.
Fuck yeah.
Rap rock, you know what I mean? And it was like,
I remember growing up, like I was super a rock kid, but I knew rap just because it was always around me.
It was there,
like my older brother's CDs, and I just listened to my older brother's and sister's CDs, and they had nothing but rap and R&B, so that's what I knew. But I was super into rock. But then I had like these one cousins that were cholo as fuck, but they fucked hard with Rage Against the Machine. And I was always like, what? That's tight.
Exactly.
And like, that shit's dope, homie. And I was like, fuck yeah. Yeah.
I also feel like...
His voice is beautiful, bro.
Yeah.
I also feel like when we started actually venturing off to our own sound, that's when we stopped making music.
Exactly, because...
Because that...
It had already kind of passed. And I feel like we had got jaded by the culture. And also, it's like the music culture where we're from. Like,
yeah, they don't like if we're trying to sound different, they're like, oh, this fool.
Yeah.
Like, they're like, nah, I don't. Like, it's weird. Like,
that's what I always got. Like, this sounds weird.
Yeah. That's why
here goes this motherfucker.
Yeah, it's weird because, like, you're trying to sound different, but you weren't accepted. It's weird now because in our town, it is accepted. If you sound different now, it's cool.
Now, yeah.
But when we were trying to do it...
Like, you know what? Like, also, too, growing up, like, to me, like Mexican music was like, what? Mexican music? But now it's like fucking tight as fuck. Like, all the kids in high school...
You got Jenny 69
like,
now?
Yeah, they're all bumping shit like that. Yo, Riverside. But yeah, dude. I feel you on that.
You know the fucking vibes.
And you know, it's crazy, too. I think I told you this. So around that time where we lost our style and like we're trying to find a new style, we're finding ourselves, that's when we plan on moving. You asked me why I moved.
Uh-huh.
Originally, he was supposed to fucking move with me. Like, that's the whole, like, if he wasn't going, I'll be kind of half, like, oh, I don't know if I should do it. But literally, one was because my ex lived down here. And then the second one was music. I'm like, we got to expand.
Yeah.
So he was down. I was like, fuck yeah, my best friend's going to move down here too.
Yeah.
And we're going to, because everybody used to say, and I don't know how true it is, because I always thought he was the dopest one.
Uh-huh.
I was like, dude, this was way better. Like, he has his shit down. But they kept saying me and him were good.
Yeah.
So like, yeah, go. Both of you guys should move down, do hip hop and all that. Because he was tripping out that I moved down here and I was trying to perform by myself. He's like, fool, if I was going to a new city by myself, I wouldn't be performing either. Like, that shit sounds scary.
Yeah, because he told me how he went to a show at like an open mic or whatever, and he's like, if I don't go up, I'm gonna quit. And I was like, what? I was like, dude, I wouldn't have gone up because I'm by myself. And it's like, I don't know what to expect. And it's like, that shit would have made me fucking later. Like, you know what I mean?
So originally he was supposed to move down here with a producer. We're supposed to get our own spot and just make music and like go to open mics together.
Yeah.
And do shit like that.
Yeah.
But then like, I said, I don't know why. I just said, fuck it, I'm moving. Because I didn't want to wait anymore. I already stacked up 8,000. And I was just like, fuck it. My brother has a spot. If these fools are not going to go, I can stay at my brother's.
Yeah.
So I said, fuck it, I'll wait for you guys. I thought that I was going to be like, oh shit, he moved? I'm going to go after. And then they never fucking came. I was like, what the fuck? And then I got caught up.
Life started to change for me right at that moment.
I started getting caught up in living, like trying to live. Especially when I knew they weren't going to come. I was like, dude, I need to find a roommate. And get
when I heard the story, I was like, I'm like a questioner. Like, I'm just like,
this fool always asks his
questions. Yeah, I need to be like, wait, what? But why? Like, huh? That's why earlier I was like, T-Box details. Because sometimes he'll tell me something. Yeah.
And you were like, who the fuck is
Steven? And then I start asking questions. And this fool's like, what the fuck? And I'm like, fool, I just don't get what you're saying. I see what you're saying, but I don't know where it's coming from. Like, I need to, what the fuck is up? Like, you know, I ask questions and shit. And so I would always be like, wonder, like, how did you fucking link up with Marco? Like, you know, like,
and who the fuck are you? Marco's his drummer.
Yeah.
I remember.
I was like, you came down here. Like, wait, what?
And so I came down, got my first job at Boot Barn, met Marco there. I found out he did music. So that was the first thing. I was like, oh, that's relatable. Like,
I was like,
you make music. I make music too. So that's when me and him started talking. I think he even like stood after one time just to hear my music. And we're chilling in his fucking Jeep.
Yeah. And he's all, check my shit out.
Yeah. He was showing me his shit, but then he was like fucking with mine heavy, like, because he had to go to Victorville. So he's like, dude, I don't care, like,
because you guys' shit was good, but like I always said, I was like, it's tight, but it just sounds like you sound like something else. Mm-hmm. Like, it sounds like, and every song was different, so I know that, like, oh, in this song you're trying to sound like this,
because
like,
I'm experimenting, because I don't know how to find my style, because we were never taught.
Yeah, and see, but I only know because I went through that. So like, if you hear, you're hearing River Rats and you're like, that's tight. But we've been making music since high school. Like, we've had a bunch of bands, bunch of CDs. And if you go through all of them, you're like, oh, fool, right here, you straight up sound like System of a Down and Korn. Hmm. Right here, you sound like da 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 da. And it wasn't until like 10 years later that now we know how to make our own sound. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's it. That's kind of like us. Because I feel like my last EP was like, I evolved, and I could have evolved to like something
the
else.
The next one would have been,
but now, if I were to step foot into music, my music would be totally different. Because one, I'm not selling drugs. Two, I'm not doing drugs. And like, I just feel like I have a way more mature mind and clear minded.
You know what? Like, because I'm like you. I'm just like you. Like, I latch on.
You guys are both Aquarius.
Ah, that's right. I latch on to melody and like lyrics, like mm-hmm. I hate that I fucking picked up the instruments later in life. I should have picked them up earlier, but that was because for the longest I really focused hard on lyrics, like hard to the point where like I studied lyrics, like I've studied what I liked. I'm like, I like this, and then I would look up like shit that are like best, that were known as best writers and shit, and I would go through everything and be like, even if I didn't get it, I'd be like, why is this fool considered a great writer? You know, and as time went on, I just started like realizing like certain things that I put together. I'm like, so one thing that I realized is like, great writers, people who consider great writers, usually are great writers because they said something in a way that was unique, but it resonated. Mm-hmm. And that's what makes a great writer. And so I was like, all right, so then, and then when I would find lyrics that I liked, I'd be like, why do I like that? And like for example, I like Morrissey.
Me too.
And Morris, and I liked him because
the Smiths
because they would sing lyrics that I would never hear anyone else sing about. Like, this, or, yeah, like, you know what I mean?
Or I'm that
like,
don't come off that deep.
Yeah.
But the way that they say it,
yeah,
makes you feel it.
Yeah, exactly.
Like you know, Yeah. Take me out tonight. Yeah. It's like, I feel it. Just take me anywhere.
Yeah, for real. I felt that way.
Let's go.
You know, a lot of the times, a lot of his lyrics, I feel like, because I was aware that people in my area resonated more with songs that made you seem hard, you know? And when I heard Morrissey, I was like, dude, like, every time I show them to the people, they'd be like, fool, this fool sounds like a pussy. Like, the shit he says sounds fucking like, you shouldn't say that.
But they low-key resonate.
Yeah, and it's like, but I like it because low-key, I feel that way. You know what I mean? Yeah. So then ever since then, I was like, well, I'm just going to be honest. Like, it's like, this fool, all he's doing is being honest. Even as pathetic as it sounds, he's being real. And you know what? I resonate. Like, I feel that way sometimes. I feel fucking pathetic sometimes. It's like, and it's cool that to hear someone else say it
exactly
in a beautiful way, exactly, to where it's like, I don't feel alone, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And ever since then, it's like, that's, I pride myself like in writing that way. Like, I want to like resonate with that. Oh, is I going with this?
I have no idea.
What?
I don't even know where I was going with this. Oh, the music.
The music.
Yeah. So like in my writing. So I have a fucking, but what started it?
Cause you were talking about how my sound and,
oh, is okay. So yeah.
Developing your own sound.
Okay. So like as time went on, I got better at it. Like, you know, just kept doing it. And eventually, I don't think that's what I was going with.
Cause you said, you said that you were always listening to other people's lyrics and watching or something, but he's also really like, he reads a lot of books.
Yeah.
So that's why he's good with wording, like putting it in place. And you also study like people like Morrissey. So the way your structure is,
your writing. If anybody recommends anything, I always want to take it in. Even if I don't like it, I want to understand why you they like do. It.
Yeah.
Yeah, he doesn't like bear.
That's the same way that I approach music. I'm listening to music too.
Yeah.
I showed him fucking some Mac Dre songs. Like, he's like, I don't like Bay Rap.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, like,
I can't get into it because you're showing it to me late. Like, if I grew up with this, then I'd be like, oh,
that's the difference.
Yeah.
That's the difference. Like, I have stopped trying to put my homies on who are not from NorCal to like why people fuck with Mac Dre. Like, you can't explain it to you. You had to be there.
Exactly. Yeah.
You had to be there. Yeah. Otherwise,
that's why I figure
it won't resonate with you. The only time that you'll feel it and you'll see it is if you go to a fucking nightclub in San Francisco or Oakland.
And you see everyone hyping to it.
And they play fucking 10 straight songs of Keek the Sneak, Mac Dre, fucking all these artists, E-40. And you see how everybody in the crowd reacts. And you're like, okay,
I get it. Now. Yeah, like, exactly.
This is the cultural significance of this artist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
that's how it was with techno.
I think we should wrap it up right there. We're at an hour 30.
This is part one.
Yeah.
It's already 9:50.
Yeah, if you're around tomorrow, dude. Yeah, I gotta wake up 4.
That's why. This wraps us up. Any shout-outs?
Right. Shout-out my mom. Shout-out my dad. Shout-out my sister, Whitney. Shout-out my niece, Amira. Shout-out Lindsay. Shout-out Watsonville. Shout-out Kimba, Bodie. R.I.P. Misty.
Misty's gone.
RIP all the homies. RIP my grandpa. It's the ninth anniversary almost coming up.
Not only that,
RIP my grandma. It's November. Patrick, Giovanni. It's just wild out here. We out here. That's all the shout outs.
Alright. You like always nothing?
Nothing.
No A neighbors right out. That shit was sick.
Yeah, it was tight, dude. Yeah, we gotta do it again. I got lost on time. I was tired as fuck when I came, and I was like, yeah.
Well, that's... Look. Yo. We in San Bernardino. Yeah, we know. I'm only out here for the week. Let me bust one. Yo. Jumped out the van, trying to do what I can. I'm trying to stay out top. I'm trying to shake the man, I'm trying to shake the plan, I'm trying to give it what I can. I'm going back and forth, going in circles, trying to stay on my purple, trying to smoke my weed. And it's been a long time since I busted the flow. I really don't know. I used to do this every day, now it's like, every year or so. Yo, I need to bring it back. Got my brain on a relapse. It really wants this, but I'm keeping it away, and I don't know why. Sometimes you just gotta sit down and try. Crack open that notebook, give it a good look. Don't think too hard and just write it out. Don't matter if it's soft or hard, and just go, just flow. Catch yourself in the zone. You already know, yo.
Yo, and we back. Yeah, the shit is whack, but we had to go attack and maybe even go and stack. We used to talk about pockets getting fatter, but now that shit doesn't matter. Watch it go scatter. Watch me do this shit all day. We don't play. We do this shit all the way from here to San Jose. And something else. Roland. I don't know what else.
Good song.
Yeah, bitch. What you know about me, bruh?
Know about me, bruh?
Hard in the game, gonna make a name. Leaving my mark, I'ma leave my stain. Better back up,